And we are back, folks. This is Right Side Radio. JP filling in for Phil today while he is off. We're talking tariffs. Tariffs are the talk of the world right now, and rightfully so, because we have not seen such a bold move being taken like we are right now. It's really historic. And truthfully, right now, I have no reason to think that Trump won't, like, this won't be another win for him, because he's winning on all other fronts. And I think it may get a little bumpy at first, but just trust the process, folks. Trust the process, just like you've trusted the process on everything else that Trump is doing already. We had some texts come in. Cameron from Decatur says, JP, brother, you're knocking it out of the park today. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. John from Harvest texted in. He said, I think the Cory Booker, quote, filibuster just shows he's running for president in 2028. Gosh, I hope so, man. I hope so. I hope they run Cory Booker out there, or AOC or Jasmine Crockett, any of those folks. I'm dying for the Democrats to run them out there for president. Or Kamala Harris again. You know, run it back. I'm sure she'll have better chances this time. Tom with all the kids from Huntsville texted in. Said, question, does the U.S. have higher tariffs than any other country? Of course not. Yeah, of course. Look at the chart that the White House put out. The reciprocal tariffs still pale in comparison to the tariffs that they have against us still. Like, a lot of them are not even half of what the tariffs are against us with a lot of these countries. So that's a great point. I mean, these reciprocal tariffs still are nothing to compare to what we're being tariffed by these countries. John from Huntsville texted in, said, JP, I got a couple questions for you. Question one, how many bathroom breaks did Cory Booker take during his record-breaking 25-hour filibuster? I don't know. Maybe he wore a diaper. I don't know. I have no idea. I'd have to look at how many. You know, to be honest with you, I'm not that interested in his filibuster to look into that, but that's a good question. Question two, 25 hours, really the record for wasting time? Because I thought the world record for wasting time was 4 years, because the last administration for 4 years did nothing but their best to make America suck. Hey, you got a good point there, John. I mean, it may have just been a four-year filibuster from the Biden administration. Thank God that's over. And now that somebody's actually doing something and the government's actually being effective, it seems radical. It seems radical that Trump is doing all the stuff he's doing when it's really common sense stuff. He just has the guts to do it. And like I said, with these tariffs specifically, it's scary on the base level. When you first look at it, it's scary. But long term, I bet it's going to end up paying off for folks. But I want to play this. Rand Paul. Rand Paul is a financial hawk, just like his dad, Ron Paul, was. So I expected him to have this view on tariffs. But he said this, and I want to respond to this. This is Rand Paul on Fox News talking about his disapproval of these tariffs. Here it is.
Tariffs have also led to political decimation. When McKinley most famously put tariffs on in 1890, they lost 50% of their seats in the next election. When Hart Smoot put on their tariff in the early 1930s, we lost the House and the Senate for 60 years. So they're not only bad economically, they're bad politically.
So, by the way, there was some background noise. If you couldn't quite make out what he said, he pretty much said in the past when McKinley put on tariffs in 1890, you know, they lost 50% of their seats. Same with Smoot-Hawley in the 30s. First of all, I'm not fully on board with the driving factor in our decision making to be reelected. That just doesn't really appeal to me. I don't think it's a good basis for decision making. Is, you know, you shouldn't be running to be reelected. What should be driving your decision-making is what's best for America. What's best for America first. And not just short-term, not what's going to look good through my presidency and then the next guy can do whatever he wants. What Donald Trump is trying to do with these tariffs is he's trying to set up American prosperity long-term. He's trying to bring back jobs to America long-term. He's trying to set a precedent to other countries that you're not going to rip off America and long-term. This is not a short-term. You know, I hope we get reelected. And first of all, Trump can't get reelected. Oh, but gosh, I hope we don't lose all our seats in 2026. Let's hold off on the tariffs for now. Bullcrap, man. Do what you think is best for America. Like, that mindset from Republicans of we're going to do what's going to help us get reelected. And gosh, that'll really make me take a hit in the approval ratings. That should not be the driving factor of your decisions. Okay. So, Republicans need to get on board with this, okay? Because this is unprecedented what Trump is doing. Well, guess what? Everything Trump has done before has been unprecedented. This is nothing new. This is just the same methodology with tariffs. Now, I get the economy is something that every American feels, and even folks that don't care about politics, they're not going to be on board anything that makes their groceries higher, that makes imports higher. I understand that. But listen, the short... the short-term pain can't dominate and make you overlook the long-term stuff, safer border, more jobs, prosperity long-term. So that messaging from Republicans and Rand Paul, like I said, we're from Rand Paul especially, is expected, but still, guys, this is why Republicans have snatched defeat from the jaws of victory so many times. Gosh, my approval rating, I don't care. You guys were put into your seats, especially Donald Trump. Donald Trump was elected to he had a historic mandate to do what hasn't been done before. And that's what he's doing. So don't get cold feet now. Do not get cold feet now, okay? And like I said, none of that's going to work on Trump, so I'm not worried about that. But folks like Rand Paul and Thomas Massie, they really need to get on board, man. They need to get on board, okay? Because if you're not able to look past that short-term price hike, I don't know what to say. You have to have a long-term, you know, perspective in your decision-making, okay? That's why we put you into your seats. So we're going to get into it more on the other side. Yappy is going to join me, and we're going to continue talking about tariffs. And then later on in the show, we're going to get into some home fries and talk about some of our local state legislative sessions that are going on and give our assessments on it. So make sure to stick around. This is JP filling in for Phil today on Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. This is JP filling in for Phil here live from the Right Side Studios. Man, we're covering the local, the state, the national, all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, yeah, folks, Phil has some top secret meetings that he's taking part in today, but he will be back tomorrow, so don't worry about that. But in the meantime, y'all are stuck with me today. And we've been talking tariffs so far throughout the show. Obviously, I mean, it's been the main talking point throughout the whole political world. It's something unprecedented. We've never seen something like this before. And it's really, well, it seems like every single Democrat is against it, which was expected. But we're also seeing a little bit of a divide in the Republican Party with this. So folks who are a bit anxious about the tariffs, the usual suspects of the financial hawks like Thomas Massie, Rand Paul, those were expected. Mitch McConnell and all the folks that voted for the Senate bill or the Senate act last night to roll back these tariffs from Canada and Mexico. So it's interesting of folks in the Republican Party who are kind of divided on this issue, of folks who are with Trump on this and Republicans who are against Trump on this. But coming on with me now to talk about this and stick around with me throughout the rest of the show. Appreciate it. Is Yaffe, who is host of the Yaffe program on WVNN up in Huntsville, and also host of Yaffe Live on Talk Radio 102.3 out of Chattanooga. Yaffe, appreciate you coming on with me.
Good to be here. I promoted this on both of my shows earlier. Ah. And I was like, you know, 5 hours of radio wasn't enough. Need to do 2 more hours.
Yeah,
so.
I feel you.
No, but I'm looking forward to it.
I appreciate it. It's a long time no see, too. So, you know, I mentioned this, you know, divide in the Republican Party. Which side are you on, Yaffe? Which side are you as a Republican on? Are you with these tariffs? Are you against these tariffs? Are you kind of in the middle? What are your thoughts on these tariffs?
Well, I am against these tariffs. And the reason why I, like, emphasize these is I'm not necessarily against tariffs per se, because I do think some targeted tariffs could be important. We found out during the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, for instance, that, you know, we were too dependent on China, say, for medicine or for medical stuff. And there's obviously some tariffs we need maybe for national security. I do think most of it, if we're going to do tariffs, should be focused more towards China. But Trump comes out and he implements a 10% tariff on everyone, including Israel. So Israel got rid of basically most of their tariffs against our goods, and yet he still has a tariff against Israel. So I'm like, okay, this is way too broad. And it's kind of hard to know what the goal here is. Is the goal to have tariffs for the sake of tariffs, or is the goal a negotiation tactic? And it seems like, or is the goal to get more tax revenue? It's been kind of a mixed message here. So I am not a big fan of tariffs just for the sake of tariffs. But yeah, I do think if we had more targeted tariffs, it'd be good. I also, real quick, I do want to say, I also think if we were going to do this, we should have waited until this tax cut package was passed. So at least that would be something to kind of offset some of the tariffs. And Trump's talked about how to offset some of these tariffs with different tax breaks, including, like, you could deduct taxes on interest of a car. I think that's a great idea. But just tariffs for the sake of tariffs, I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah, and I get what Trump, like, I mean, since before he was even in the mix for president, I think back in the 90s when he was on Oprah talking about how America's being ripped off with all these trade deficits.
I think it was like in the 80s. In the 80s, he's been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah. So, like, I get his reasoning and his message of if I don't care who you are, if you have an unfair trade with us, then, you know, we're going to have reciprocal tariffs against you. And it was a message that he went so far in on, he almost can't backtrack on it now, even if it's against people like, or countries like Israel, even if it's, you know, with our allies. Like, he's so far into it, it's almost like he feels like he can't pick and choose which ones, like, oh, well, you know, trade deficits over here, okay, but not over here. And I don't think trade deficits are necessarily a bad thing always, but I feel like with the blanket message of, you know, unfair trade here is bad, then unfair trade here can't be, you know, unfair trade over here can't be good. And he can't backtrack. He's too far into it now. He's too far into that message that he can't backtrack. And two, he can't, you know, pick and choose which ones, you know, to terrify. Even if you think he should, I feel like that's the way he's looking at it, of like, you know, if I'm going to have this message, I got to be consistent across the board.
Well, and yeah, that's a good point. But I would say if he had actually implemented reciprocal tariffs, so let's say one country tariffs us 20% and we're saying, okay, we're doing 10% for you, but we're going to up it to 20 to match yours, that I would be much more in favor of that. I'm still not a fan of that, but I think a lot of people could get behind that. But when he put out that chart yesterday, that's not what it was. It was kind of portrayed that way.
Yeah.
But actually what it was is the U.S. trade deficit divided by imported goods, and then half of that. That's not reciprocal tariffs. That's based on a trade deficit, which we're talking about South Korea adding tariffs of 50% to them when they don't do anything close to that with us.
Yeah.
So that can be, so it makes you think, at the end of the day, it makes you think, one, he just hates trade deficits because he hates trade deficits. Mm-hmm. But two, it makes it think, okay, I guess he really does just like tariffs, just for the sake of tariffs. Well, and there really is no goal here.
He went on Joe Rogan before the election, was like, tariff is the most beautiful word I've ever heard. It's like he has it in his mind of, and he talked about, you know, how successful our country was in his eyes, you know, when we were almost, you know, we had tariffs on everybody, it seemed, and we got money externally. But do you think at all, like, if, and I agree with you, I mean, you look at the tariff chart and the tariffs, the reciprocal, quote, reciprocal tariffs still pale in comparison with the tariffs that we're, you know, countries still have against us. Do you think at all raising those tariffs against those countries will cause the countries to bring theirs down to somewhere near our level in response at all?
I think it's possible that some will. Yes. It depends on the country. And like I said, hopefully, and this is like best case scenario, hopefully we can make a deal with some of these countries so they do bring down their tariffs and we can have a better deal. The problem I had was more, okay, he started with 10% tariffs, even on countries that don't tariff us. So I had mentioned Israel. Israel got rid of the vast majority of their tariffs on us, yet he still wants a 10% tariff on them, and then did this whole, well, we have a trade deficit with them. Well, of course we do. We're going to be able to sell more to Israel or something. So it's just, when you look at the big picture, I'm just not a fan of broad tariffs. I think targeted tariffs could be better.
Yeah. And if we're going to get, you know, the root of, you mentioned tariffs being a negotiating tactic, and I would agree with that. So if we're going to look at it from the negotiating tactic of, at least in my eyes, I feel like the primary countries that this was a negotiating tactic with the most, obviously there was negotiating tactics with other countries to fix the trade deficit, but I think the first ones and the main ones were Canada and Mexico, because they weren't doing enough to secure the border and the fentanyl crisis on both borders. And we've already seen Canada be like, oh, well, we'll get rid of the tariffs if y'all do the same. And then we saw, you know, Mexico say they're not going to have any reciprocal tariffs against us at all. So first, do we think that what Trump is wanting to get out of, you know, these tariffs, whatever he's trying to negotiate, a safer border? I mean, we've already seen both Canada and Mexico make some efforts to secure the border better, but the ultimate goal, the ultimate, you know, whatever he wants to get out of these negotiations and these tariffs from the countries. Do you think that's going to work primarily with Canada and Mexico? And if you do, I mean, I feel like it would have to be relatively soon. I mean, this was such a drastic, you know, tariff against both Canada and Mexico that both countries are going to feel the impact of. I feel like he would have to get results somewhat soon. And I feel like America has the leverage with majority of these tariffs against Canada and Mexico.
Well, the problem is I really don't have the answer to that question. Because you're right, he used it as a negotiation tactic to get the border secure. Then he talked with Trudeau, he talked with the president of Mexico, they worked it out, and then he didn't implement the tariffs. But then he came back and implemented tariffs, mm-hmm. and then implemented tariffs on everyone. So it's like, I'm not 100% sure, and I think this is one of the issues, is there's a lot of uncertainty here. This is why the stock market, they might be overly freaking out.
Yeah.
But a lot of people aren't sure. They're not sure if this is about a negotiation tactic or if it really is he wants to restructure how our economy works so we buy and sell most things within the country instead of bringing in things through trade. And if he hasn't given a definite answer on that. You know, mm-hmm. Trump can be pretty unpredictable when it comes to foreign policy. And for the most part, I think that's good. Like, our enemy's kind of like, oh, he could do it. This is,
yeah.
He's a little crazy, you know, the crazy man theory.
Yeah.
But when it comes to economic policy, the unpredictability can be a very, very big negative.
Oh, yeah.
Because markets, businesses, mm-hmm. they don't know how to deal with the unpredictability.
Yeah. And, you know, we saw the stock market, you know, take a big hit after he announced these tariffs, which I think eventually, it will come back, but the question is, you know, how long will this unpredictable, like, Trump could come out tomorrow with something new and then the next day with something new, and it just, you know, snowball keeps getting worse and worse. But I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if whatever Trump does want, you know, out of these, which I think, you know, stronger borders is a main one, which we've seen some progress being made on that. But I think ultimately he wants America to be a producer instead of a consumer. Like, I saw somewhere you mentioned how you walk down Germany, you won't see a Chevy or a Ford, you won't see any of those cars anywhere. You walk down the street in America, you'll see Volkswagen, you'll see all these foreign cars. And I think he wants to take pride in America being a producer again, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but then also, you know, trade deficits aren't necessarily a bad thing either. So it's finding a balance of, you know, not being completely, you know, a producer. We don't take anybody else's stuff, but also at the same time, you know, not wrecking the economy along with it. But we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back on the other side and we're going to pick this conversation up. I let it go along a little bit. We lost track of the time there, but we're going to come back, talk more about these tariffs and what we think the result of them is going to be. So make sure to stay tuned for that. This is Right Side Radio with JP here with Yaffe filling in for Phil while he's gone in some top secret meetings. I can't tell y'all what it is, but in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break and be right back. And we are back. This is Right Side Radio. JP filling in for Phil today while he's off. And we're here talking tariffs. We're talking tariffs with the rest of the political world and the rest of the world, it seems like, for that matter. When America does something this drastic, it's going to be the talk of the world. But 833-687-4448, that is the text line number. Y'all have already been active throughout the show. We appreciate that, as always. Jump in and let us know what you think about these tariffs. And, you know, which side are you on? Are you with these tariffs? Are you against these tariffs? Are you with some of these tariffs? Man, you know, I feel like everybody's got their own opinion on them. So let us know on the text line. You know, back talking to tariffs here, Yaffe. So my whole thing with Republicans on this issue, and, you know, I've said it before, you know, Rand Paul and Massey, I respect that their principles and standing with their conservative principles when it comes to, you know, financial stuff. But the others, you know, the others that don't fall into that, you know, fall into that genre of financial hawk, I would say, that they're like, oh, yes, we love Doge. We love everything, all this radical stuff he's doing. Yes, you know, go in and do what needs to be done. But then right when tariffs come up, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's calm down. Let's chill out a little bit here. That's a little bit too much. I think that's almost them, you know, buying into the fear-mongering, not necessarily just from the left, but the fear-mongering in general about tariffs. I feel like if you're going to be with Trump on Doge, which it's that, if you want to talk about radical, I feel like that's right up there with, in terms of one of the most radical things the president has done right away with how much he's cut. I feel like if you're going to be with him on that, I don't know why you wouldn't trust him with tariffs, in my opinion. Yaffe, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that, mostly because it's not so much that I'm against how he's doing the tariffs because it's radical. I mean, you could be radical and be wrong, I guess. It's more because I just don't like the policy. Now, we talked about how I would be more for targeted tariffs. I think we should be more focused on China because China is the big issue we have. Now, I will say this. I think what Elon Musk and Doge, I think it could be one of the most important things done in government in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
If it can keep going, you know, if he is not stopped, and I think Congress needs to help him. But when it comes to the chainsaw, you know, Doge and the chainsaw, and people are, oh, he's using the chainsaw to talk about people losing their jobs.
Yeah.
But I think the chainsaw is the point. I think the fact that it's drastic is so you can't, if you're not quick with cutting the size of government, if you're not quick with cutting the bureaucracy, if you're not drastic in terms of getting rid of a lot of this waste, fraud, and abuse, it's like never going to happen. Yeah. Because the deep state just figures out a way to stick around, to fight back, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I agree 100% with, you know, the fact that tariffs will raise prices. Like, it takes an idiot to say otherwise, to say that tariffs aren't going to raise prices. Like, obviously, that's, you know, kind of the point. And
exactly. It's kind of the point.
Yeah.
You're right. The whole point is to, it raises prices, so you have to buy American products.
Yeah. So it's a given. Yeah. Tariffs raise prices temporarily, but I think the long-term view of it, of what's trying to be achieved, like I knew about the Trump's tariff policy before I voted for him, and I'm willing to pay more for some stuff temporarily if it's going to get a stronger border, if it's going to bring manufacturing back to America, if all this long-term stuff is going to happen, I'm willing to bite the bullet and, you know, suffer through the short price hike or whatever. But in the comparison to the Democrats trying to make of, oh, but the egg prices, you were complaining about that under Biden. It's like, there's a difference between incompetent inflation and, you know, strategic tariffs that have a long-term strategy behind them. I'm full on board. If I agree with the long-term strategy, okay, I'll pay a little more at the time being if that means I'm going to get, you know, this better stuff in the long term. But I guess my frustration or my annoyance is too many times I've seen Republicans be too spineless and too scared to take action on stuff. And I guess the first reaction I see from Republicans that are like, ah, that may be a bit too much. My initial reaction is, you know, stop getting in the way. Don't get in the way, please. And that doesn't mean I don't fully understand, you know, why they're saying it and what. But it's, I wish they, the ones who were saying that, would look at the long-term impacts that are trying to be achieved here. And, you know, just don't snatch defeat from the jaws of victory again, I guess is.
You know, it's funny, too. You talked about Joe Biden and the Biden administration and prices went up. They didn't even make an argument that it was done for some kind of long-term change.
Yes, yeah.
Their whole argument was, first, it's not happening.
Yep.
Then it's transitory. Then, yeah, it's happening, but the economy is good. And it's like, okay, you're just trying to get us to ignore what we can see. They never made an argument that we have to do this for the long term.
Yeah, exactly right. But we're going to take a quick time out. That's the music playing here. And continue this conversation on the other side. This is Right Side Radio. JP and Yaffe filling in for Phil. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covered down on all the issues, folks. This is JP here filling in for Phil while he's out today alongside with Yaffe. Appreciate him coming on with me today as well. And calling in a little early today, but very much welcome. We got our truck driving friend, Jeff from Indiana, calling in. Jeff Rowe, what's going on, man?
Hey, JP. Hey, Yaffe.
I'm not sure if Yaffe is actually going to be able to hear your call right now. So
I actually can.
Oh, hey, what's nice. Up, man? Sweet.
You're doing good, then. You know your tech.
What's on your mind, man? What's going on?
Stock tip, everybody who's selling stock today and everything, you might want to be buying. It's a good market to be in because when this everything bounces back, you know, this is all panic selling right now.
Yeah.
So whenever they come back in, it's going to be a good market.
Yeah, and I think it will come back. I think the market will eventually get more certainty, but it's the shock and the holy oh crap moment, you know, caused a lot of people to panic. But I agree. I think ultimately it is going to come back up. It's not going to be like this forever.
Yeah. I mean, you know what we're doing now is we're putting tariffs on everything and stuff to equalize the markets.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that's done, though, but the one drawback is that even though tariffs would be eliminated for the most part, then you still got governments that can subsidize and tax incentive to not buy American goods. Because just through logistics alone, you know, it's going to cost more to ship a car from overseas than it does to ship it domestically.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen a lot of people bringing up that point as well. It's the individual, you know, entrepreneurs are not going to compete with those, you know, foreign subsidized companies. It has to take the state to come in and help them in that area to protect, you know, America's own from that. So, yeah, I agree 100%. And the competitive edge that those foreign companies have, it can't keep happening because our own American companies are going to keep just drowning in that.
Yeah. Another thing I see is, they'll do the domestic cars and everything. Say we'll give a $10,000 tax credit if you buy a Tesla, opposed to a no tax credit if you buy a Chinese car, even though it'll make it basically the same price, mm-hmm. you know, because of their cheap labor and everything. And then so it should even out in the end. But there will still be ways of getting around keeping people buying United States goods overseas because they can manipulate the markets.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I hope the ultimate, you know, long-term goal from this is America is able to become a producer, you know, for global markets and not just be a consumer, which I think Trump has aired it out many times. That's one of his goals is to, you could be able to see a Ford or a Chevy overseas. You'd be able to see, you know, American products globally, but it's not going to be comfortable, you know, that process. So we'll see if that you know, is ultimately going to be a goal that's attainable from these tariffs. But it's going to be uncomfortable. Change is not always comfortable. So I think the markets will eventually even out and, you know, certainty will come back to it. But I agree with everything 100%. And hopefully, you know, those American cars like Tesla can be more, you know, something that countries globally want to take instead of the cheap, you know, Chinese. I agree with that 100%.
Another thing that's going to, you know, if we get all these manufacturing jobs here and they start building here, one thing that has to be done, we're going to have to cut the safety hammock that a lot of people are lying in right now, because there's so many people out there now that's not willing to accept a job because the government's taking care of them. You know, all these people on, you know, anybody who's on welfare that's able to work, there's no excuse for that. You know, I know a lot of people on welfare that's much more able-bodied than me, and yet I'm sitting out here working 70 hours a week. So you've got to cut that hammock out of the way so that they are forced to take a job and make a living, just like I do.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think a lot of Americans will. I think the narrative that's, you know, said from a lot on the left of, you know, we need all these illegal immigrants to do the jobs because Americans just don't want to work. You know, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think if Americans are incentivized to go work, I think for the most part, a lot of them will. But I agree with you, too. I think there's a lot of freeloaders who maybe need a little kick in the butt to go do something. But you got to have the jobs, too. You know, I think if the jobs are there, I think the workers will come. So I think that alone, you know, the jobs alone will do a lot of the incentivizing for that. But hey, where are you at on the road right now, by the way? Are you at Trashville yet, or is that later on?
No, I'm just now passing Huntsville exit, heading north.
So you're not quite past the Buc-ee's yet, huh?
No, I'm not made it to Buc-ee's yet. I wish I could get into that place. Maybe I'll have to have my buddy there at Buc-ee's come out and bring me a brisket sandwich sometime.
Oh, man.
I was gonna say, why can't you get in? Just go, talk about plenty of room.
No truck.
Yeah.
No trucks allowed in a Buc-ee's. It's a convenience store. It's not a truck stop.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah,
it's not for the truckers. That's a good point.
We need a pro trucker Buc-ee's. And like, I would be down. I would be getting a brisket sandwich every day if I had to pass Buc-ee's driving past there. Well, Jeff, I appreciate you calling in, man. Appreciate you calling in early and talking up. We'll see you tomorrow.
Y'all keep up the good work. You're doing an excellent job.
Appreciate
y'all
it, man.
You should be proud.
Appreciate it, man. See you tomorrow. Yeah. Well, it's a lot of good points there. The the long-term, you know, effects from these tariffs that at least, you know, what the Trump administration wants. The question is, will it be the outcome of it? But, you know, I agree 100% with that. Yeah, after continuing to talk about these tariffs a little bit before, you know, next segment we'll start to, you know, turn our eyes local to some home fries stuff and some local legislation. Did you saw that the Senate put up a, I don't know if it was a bill or they passed something to revoke, you know, Canada, Mexico, the tariffs on them.
Yeah.
Obviously, it needs to get past the House and signed by the president, so it's not going to happen. But were you shocked at all that, you know, obviously Rand Paul, you know, expected to get on there, but were you shocked at all that even with a Republican, you know, a Senate, Republican Congress, you know, as it like stuff like anti-Trump, it seems, you know, legislation is still able to get passed in the Senate?
Well, I'm not surprised by this. One, it's a Republicans have a pretty slim majority in the Senate. So it doesn't really take that many Republicans to cross over. But as you mentioned earlier, there's a divide in the Republican Party on this. And I think Rand Paul makes a good point on this. Do we want the president of the United States to be able to do this? And this is a tariff is basically a tax. Mm-hmm. So we have the president unilaterally raising taxes on Americans. And there is a question on whether you support Trump or not, whether you like the tariffs or not. Is it really the proper way to do this? Should a president be able to do that without the approval of Congress? And as you mentioned, Rand Paul is pretty principled on this kind of stuff. Even if he'll go against the president on stuff if he's pretty principled. But you're right. At the end of the day, it's not going to pass completely. There's no way they could get, even if they could get it through the House, there's no way they could get a veto-proof yeah. majority on this.
Yeah, and then it gets to Trump's desk. Oh, you know what? I had this epiphany. I agree with you guys. I got a little out of hand. Let's fix this. Yeah. I don't know. I find it funny, though, that they know that that's not going to get anywhere. And we have a Republican majority in the Senate, although it's slim. We do have a Republican majority, but yet, you know, that still gets passed. I don't know. I find it funny. Expected,
well,
but still
really
kind of funny.
What's really frustrating is there is a tax bill that the Senate still hasn't taken up to cut taxes. You know, they should work on that.
Yes.
If the Republicans really are upset about these tariffs, I get it. I'm kind of with you. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying. But that's not going to pass. One thing that will pass, one thing that Trump will sign, is the tax bill.
Yeah.
Yet you're not taking that up. So that to me is the real issue here. It's like, okay, you want to get a win. You want to maybe offset these tariffs a little bit. Pass that bill.
And they kicked it down the road to, what, September with the CR? And, you know, I think they're kind of just, you know, chilling. Like, oh, we got time. That's not as urgent anymore. It's like, no, that's... It is urgent, you know, so don't get to September, because when we get there, then nothing's going to get done. Yeah, I agree. I feel like the Republicans in the Senate, they need to, I agree with you 100%. It's what's frustrating, because I think you look on the flip side of things, you know, the Democrats, they get in line, and whether it's to their detriment, which oftentimes it is, we saw with their detriment with the last election, but I mean, they're able to get on the same page and they're united on stuff and they're able to get stuff done, even if it's often destructive to America and destructive to their party. Like, there's no dissent. Like, there's no somebody, I don't know. Like, for the most part, Democrats are united on what they want to do and they're effective in that way. But yet,
that's true. Although that CR passed because some Democrats, objected. That was kind of a unique situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had some texts that are coming in right now, by the way. 833-687-4448 is the text line number. Let us know your thoughts. We got John from Harvest texting in. He said, generally speaking, I'm not a big tariff fan, but I'm still optimistic enough to let these play out for now. I think the goal is to bring more manufacturing back to the U.S. and not as a permanent feature. Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm normally not a big tariff fan either, but I like what Trump is trying to accomplish with these. So I think right now, at least for me, you know, I'm trusting Trump until I'm being proven otherwise. And he's done so much winning in the first 73 days. I mean, I'm willing to see, you know, what the effects of these tariffs are before jumping to any conclusions initially. We have John from Huntsville too texting in. I think people should just chill out over Trump's tariffs because the Dow Jones is still over 40,000 points and gold is worth over $3,100 an ounce. So I really don't see much to complain about right now. Well, there you go. Jack from Huntsville said, I believe it was Ted Cruz who said the safety net is supposed to be a trampoline, not a hammock. He's talking about what Jeff from Indiana talked about.
Oh, he said that. That's a good one. I like that.
That's a very good quote and very much on topic with what we're talking about. Appreciate it, Jack. Red from Tony said, you let Jeff know I'm allowed to take my truck in there. Talking about Buc-ee's. So apparently, maybe Jeff did something to piss off the Buc-ee's. Well, we also got David at Buc-ee's who works at Buffy's. Said, tell Jeff to do what a lot of truckers do. Park your rig on the street alongside Buc-ee's. At least for now, there's nothing but empty field surrounding the store. So yeah, park it in an empty field and walk on up. I guess that's not a bad idea. But there you go, Jeff. You ain't go get a brisket sandwich. You got to find a way around it.
You know what Buc-ee's has that's really good that I didn't know until recently? They have these really good whoopie pies. So whoopie like in pies. The back. Yeah, like, you know, the cookies with the cream in the middle. Like you go into the back and they have like a little bakery section. And it never occurred to me that that was there. And I got it once. It was so good.
That is... I've yet to have something from Buc-ee's that wasn't good. The brisket, all their nuts that they have. It's the
beaver nuggets.
The beaver nuggets too. Yeah, it's I miss, but you know, I when I worked in Huntsville, you know, I drive past Buc-ee's every day, and I miss it because you know, be able to pop in and get something. And I don't even know where the closest Buc-ee's around me is down here. We have a Buc-ee's crisis down here. We need one in Gadsden.
Yeah, there's one in Birmingham.
Yeah. That's true.
Somewhere.
I think Leeds, too, has a Buc-ee's. Yeah. But, well, we're going to take a quick timeout. 3:47. We're going to take out of here. Come back on the other side and get into some home fries. That's right. We're going to get some home fries. We got local legislative sessions going on that need to be discussed. Some stuff that Alabama legislative session is accomplishing, but then some stuff that they probably need to do more of and less of other stuff. But we're going to take a quick timeout before we do that. This is JP and Yaffe filling in for Phil. We'll be right back.